love you. Have your way in our hearts today, Father. Give us ears to hear, and a heart to receive. We ask it all in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
I was telling Oscar yesterday, just because, was that yesterday or Friday? That was Friday, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It was at Jack's birthday. I think I look at the book, and I'm just being honest with you, I look at Romans as a book of illustration and telling you basically, this is what you're going to do in your life. Now, I'm not starting on chapter 8. I'm thinking about chapter 6, to be honest mm-hmm. with you. And he tells you in there, and I'm paraphrasing, but he tells you in there, you know, as you go along with me, with the Spirit, with life, you're going to come to a place to where there's a battle that starts to go on inside of you. And that's called the flesh. The flesh and the Spirit are going to start the battle. Well, when you get into the 7th chapter, where it says the things I would do, the things I don't do, and the things I don't want to do, those are the things I do, the real battle's going on. And what God wants us to know, I believe, as he clarifies it in Romans, is that I'm on your side. He wants you to know that he's for you. He's not only for you so much that he sent his son Jesus to pay the price, the penalty, right? And so any that have accepted him have accepted his death and have received his life. Is that basically what the word says to us? We've accepted his death and received his life. So he wants to know, I know now in Romans the 8th chapter, it says now. And I told Oscar, I said, I had to stop, I had to stop on now. Because I believe, right here, I believe that that's present tense. That's not now in the future. That's when he says it, it's now, now. He said, now. Now, what is he saying? He says, he's quoting and telling you now there's no condemnation. But he's telling you that because he's talking about in Christ. See, if we don't understand that's in Christ, we won't get it. See, if we act like, oh, sure, Paul can say that. Really? I mean, I don't have that much. I wouldn't dare say now, yeah, of course, Paul's got that. Paul went through a lot.
Black coffee.
And a stress. You know, he shared in the suffering of Christ. He knows it. He should went through a lot. But when it said now, it was like a whole new life. He was talking about the life in Christ. So now there is no condemnation. Otherwise, when you're in the presence of God, there is none. Can you take that and say that's right? When you're in the presence of God, there is none. What is there in the presence of God? There's freedom. There's expression beyond measure. There's adoration beyond measure. You're humbled to the fact where it's all right. You know, I start singing songs in my head. It's all right. And it is. It's okay. But in Romans, it's a book that leads you from one aspect and it stays with you in your life. As you stay with him and walk with him, he's wanting you to know you're not walking alone. This is what's going to happen to you. That's okay. I'm still with you. You know, a lot of people, what was it? David said that he made his bed in hell, that God would be there with him. Well, guess what? Jesus come since then. And we got the benefit of Jesus coming. That's not a lie. We got the full benefit of Jesus coming. He came for this generation. He came for this generation. And this generation is going to be possessed by the Holy Spirit. We need to know that that's good. That's good. We no longer have to think and depend upon ourselves, but we depend still upon God. And God's wanting to make people who will depend upon him to walk Romans out. And we get to walk it out. We get to walk it out in no fear. We don't get to walk it out by ourselves. We get to walk it out knowing that if we stumble, he's going to pick us up. And you know what? Have you ever been in a place in your life where maybe you tripped on a rug or something like that, but you were in a public place and you looked around real quick to see if anybody seen you? Well, I got news for you. All eyes are upon us. All eyes. And it's okay to trip and fall. I'm going to tell a quick story and I'll shut up for a minute. We were down to City Gospel Mission one time, and it was my turn to speak. And I got up to speak, and it's got a podium, what, 2 feet high at least?
Yeah, it's pretty high. Right?
2 feet high or something like that. Well, anyway, I spoke, and as I spoke, I walked off the podium. Fell flat on my head and kept on rolling, turned around, walked back up the steps, and didn't miss a beat on the next word I was going to say. Now, this was a time that Audrey had gone with us then. And she says to me, she said, well, I couldn't believe it. I said, what's that? She said, well, you didn't miss a beat. I said, Audrey. She goes, yeah. We have to learn that when we follow in him, we get up in him. Otherwise, he's still saying, that's my boy or that's my girl. You know how we say we're the children of God? I mean, come on. When somebody says, that's my dad, you know, and they're saying it because they're thrilled you're the parent. That's my mom, and you're thrilled with it. But that's what God's doing. He's going like this. That's okay. Didn't even hesitate. Was that me? No way was that me. But I'll tell you what, I knew it was him. So what God wants us to know is depend upon him. That you ever stubbed your toe at night in furniture when somebody's moved it and you didn't know they moved it? You know, that leg will go up, but before that leg goes up, something goes to your head like, daggone it. But I believe that God has allowed us to realize his presence in such a great way that it's okay because we're free. Whom the Spirit has set free is free indeed. You know, whether we fall or whether we get knocked in. The real test, it seems like to me, is with my wife, it was funny, was new cars when they would get hit or something. In 1970, I'll go back a couple days. In 1970, I was dating Deb, and I was headed up to Center Hill, toward P&G. You guys might know where that's at. Well, anyway, and the Lord had showed me, it was snowing and everything, that I was about ready to have a wreck. And I didn't come against that in the name of Jesus because it was Jesus telling me this. And I said, okay, Lord. I said, make sure there's nobody on the other side. So when I come out of the curb, I won't hurt nobody. I came in that curb. I had paid $3,200 for a showroom car. I come out of that curb. And the Spirit said, brake, because I headed toward the woods. So I put the brake on. I got out and looked at that car, and I go, okay. I went ahead and drove for the date. Debbie came out, looked at that car, and she started crying. I go, what? And she went and told her mom, I wrecked this new car. And I'm going like this. I'm okay. But I'm just being honest with you. I mean, a lot of times that stuff will happen. I mean, we can get another car, right? The whole thing is, we're here. We're still okay. And when we look through God's eyes, we have to see the whole picture, not just the little picture. I think what he does is he sets us up to feel like, I want you to feel things. But I don't want those things to take away from us. I want you to know that in this time, now time, you and me are okay. And I want you to know that. And I want you to grow in that. I want you to be established in that. That come what may, I'm on your side. I'm with you. And that's why so many times I have told people, I said, and I think so many times that we understand what we choose to understand. I hate to say it like that. I'm not trying to be cold or nothing. But I think that with life is so short, we think it will always be. Well, one day this life that I'm talking to you in, this life, will end. what I'm talking about will never end. And who I'm talking about will never end. He'll keep on keeping on. But the thing is, that's the good news. That's the good news. We need to celebrate the good news. So I told you why Romans 8, 1 means so much to me. But I've gone on to where every word in Romans means something to me. But I wanted to read something to you if you don't care. It's out of the message. I said it's Lonnie's message. It was the one he owned. But here's the title of Romans, the 8th chapter in the message. The solution is life on God's terms. That makes me laugh. Because the reality is, it is. It really is. It says, with the arrival of Jesus, the Messiah, that faithful, dilemma is resolved. Those who enter into Christ being here for us no longer have to live under a continuous or cautiously low-lying black cloud.
Amen.
Oh man, this is good. Don't have to live under that black cloud. Let me stop right there. What do you think it means when it means black cloud?
You can't see.
Don't you think it means interference? A black cloud runs interference with what God wants us to see. It takes our minds off of what he wants us to think. Be honest with you, it takes our minds off what he wants us to possess. It says, a new power is in operation. The spirit of life in Christ, like a strong wind, has magnificently cleared the air. Anybody like after it rains and how the air clears? And Mike's run, you was talking about it the other day, the marathon. Your lungs had to be great. Your lungs had to be great. I mean, I understand that. And it says, freeing you from a fate of lifetime of brutal tyranny at the hands of sin and death. We've been set free. And whom the Spirit has set free is free indeed.
Clyde, what when you were talking about the black cloud, have you ever taken off in an airplane in a rainstorm? You know, you take off and it's all cloudy and dark and gray. And then all of a sudden you get above the clouds and what's up there?
Blue sky.
Blue sky.
Cloud, white clouds.
I believe a black cloud also, it blinds and deceives. It blinds you to, well, the truth, and deceives you to the truth.
I think it refocuses us on the present instead of the present. It focuses on a temporary presence instead of the eternal presence. The eternal presence is always God.
That's right.
I think it's a temporary time of, I don't like that word either, but a temporary time of, I want to say like a blindness. Deceiving is very good. I think it's a challenge. God, I look at the Bible as a challenge. It's a challenge to see what we choose to believe a lot of times. A lot of times our greater faith that we've received in God is because we have pressed into it, not ran away from it, and not gone over in the corner and hide from it, but we've actually said, I'm going to walk through this. Well, the thing is, should give us the boldness, the Holy Spirit, God himself, is walking through it with us. He goes, I get your hand right here. You know.
A lot of times there's a lack of understanding that. There's and like you say, we choose to believe. I believe that sometimes there's a lack of understanding and why you're not believing or accepting or receiving.
Well, I'll tell you what, I had a neighbor the other day. COP, is it, or whatever, the breathing disorder?
Oh, COPD.
Yes. She's only in her 50s. She's a precious woman. And she came up to me out of the clear blue. We don't have this relationship, by the way, but she came up to me. Apparently, we're going to have it. she came up to me and said,
Clyde?
I go, yeah. She said, dying is very hard. And then a neighbor that lives right below her says, you know, is she sick? Because it sounded like she was coughing up her lung the other night in the bathroom. Mm-hmm. You know, because when you do stuff like that, you can't hide it. So when she talked to me, I said, you know what? I said, why don't you come in my house? Debbie wasn't there, but Josh was. And I said, why don't you come in the house? And I said, and look at our new floors. Now, I told her I was taking it into her to look at our new floors, but I was taking it in there to talk to Josh. So she walked in, she's telling the fly, and she looked over and seen Josh. Hey, Josh. Hey, Patty, how you doing? Okay, he knows her voice because he's heard it so much. But she starts talking to him, in a matter of just maybe a couple minutes, they start laughing and stuff like that. And she says, oh, I love your laughter. She said, I wish I could take it with me. He said, you take mine. You can have it. Oh, and he goes, I'm not kidding you. You can have it. I'll give it to you. You know, but the whole thing is, she looked at me before she left the house. She said, you didn't bring me in to your floors. She said, that was good medicine for me right there. Mm-hmm. So have we gotten beyond the time where we can be medicine for somebody? You know, we tell them this doctor or this or whatever, whatever, but the honest truth is, the doctor's in the house. Yeah. He's what abides within us. You know, I try to tell people, especially I felt at 3 o'clock yesterday morning, the Lord laid Johnny on my heart, Johnny Baker. Mm-hmm. And I love Johnny Baker. And I thought of Rodney Greer, how much they loved each other, and things that I had seen them do over the years. So I felt like I should call Rodney to make sure, because I didn't want something, well, I thought somebody would have called. I forget that. I try to eliminate every possibility of somebody not knowing about, somebody not feeling good. Otherwise, if you got an excuse, don't come around me, because the Lord will probably reveal it, and I'll say something to you. Anyway. So I called him up, and he said, yeah. He said, we've been talking the last 2 weeks. He said, yeah, I love Ronnie Baker. I said, no, I mean, not Ronnie. Why, he loves Ronnie too, but Johnny. But I got to tell you, if anybody wants to say something, say it. I said, because I'm going to tell you another story real quick. We were at camp one year, and Johnny Baker and Rodney Greer came up and stayed in the back of their tent. I mean, not tent, in the back of their truck. And, you know, nights get cold, so they need a lot of blankets to sleep on. And Dick DeMaug was at camp that year, and I was staying down in a camper down near the water. And I had to walk up, it's about 6 a.m, to start getting breakfast ready, because I helped with the kitchen. And I'm walking up there, and here comes Dick. He's walking down in his house shoes, his jammies, and his gown. And he looks like a wild man. His hair just running. And he's going like, them guards ought to know. They ought to bring their own blankets. They know that they should be here. They were coming. It ain't a surprise that they were coming. He opened up their truck, grabbed the blankets, and threw them out, and put them around him and walked away. He said, they'll learn now to get their own blankets and not take mine. Anyway, Dick didn't see me because I was off to the side laughing my head off. And I'm thinking, I think we're going to have visitors at in the kitchen this morning. So them two guys made it over there because the kitchen's always warm because of the, you know, the stoves and everything going. Well, anyway, I laughed, and they go like, did you see Dick do that this morning? I said, yeah. I said, what I didn't see, and I looked at Rodney, I go like, did your mom bring those blankets from Dick? She goes, yeah, she did. I said, well, I guarantee he didn't say nothing to her. But anyway, so I saw Imogene that yesterday, and she was laughing. She said, yeah, he was a very cold mm-hmm. person. And I said, yeah. But I said, it tickled me to no end. But anyway, I guess I should have brought that up. To me...
You know what I found lately? We went to a birthday party yesterday. It was just people mostly I didn't know, and I always have a little bit of social anxiety, and it comes from self-centeredness, because you know, will they like me? Am I going to be on? You know, they're going to say, "Well, that Kathy, she was nice, wasn't she?" You know, but since God has really started moving me closer. That all I want is when I'm feeling that way, Lord, let your perfect will be done today. Mm-hmm. You know, I want to hear what you want me to say, and I want to say, you know, if that just goes, you know, because anything like that goes against, none of the shining should be on you as a personality. You know, you're the mirror of God's, and it becomes so, my life becomes so simple. When I say, "Oh well, Father, whatever you want," and do you know that we went over there, and it was a lovely. The conversation was on this level, that was a different level than I ever would have thought it would be. And it was about the past, and it was about my husband. Some of the people there were. Relatives of his very first wife, who was Joe's birthday that we were going to, and then there was just all kinds of people that, you know, I had an interest in saying, you know, wow, he's got a good wife now, you know, but we talked about her and how terrible her childhood had been, and that she had never really gotten over it. And there was such a closeness between the families that it was something different than what I ever could have expected for that day. Isn't that our Father? Isn't that the way He works? We just have to just be concerned that His will be done.
Right.
And I think that's exactly what happened with that lady that day when you took her inside. You know? All eyes on God. All eyes on you, Father. All eyes on you. You know, that's all I want. That's all.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think like Romans leads us to the place to where I think you started on 18 last week. Mm-hmm. Of course, I don't have to look too much at that one. But that scripture has taken this. I was going to say an individual. That's not fair to God. Mm-hmm. This person of Christ living within me to a place to where He loves to fellowship. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, growing up, you know, as a baby in the family, you get somewhat spoiled. But the facts are that, I mean, Oscar's mom had the opportunity to work and needed to work, right? And my mom she sold Avon out of the house. Mm-hmm. And I think that was one of the jobs she had when I was born. And, you know, of course, Dad was still alive then. But it just, there's so many functions that go on that we are allowed to be exposed to. Yeah, this is the word I want. Allowed to be exposed to where Church of God people come in and they're praying with your parents and stuff like that, and you're a little kid and you're listening to it, and then you feel the presence of God. You don't know it's the presence of God, but it's a real warm feeling to where you don't feel like you ought to walk into a room. Not because you've been told not to walk into a room, but because you feel this awesome move in that room. Mm-hmm. So I crawled into the room many times and just laid there and watched people pray and listen to them. And I thought, oh, this is, you know, not what is this? This is, and because as a kid or as a child, it felt so comforting, strength, and a dimension of power that I, you know, never even heard about, where I go, this is good. I like this. But to where, you know, that God will allow you to see what he wants you to see in the time he wants you to see it. I was 5 and Dad was laying up there in a box. And my mom left me, I was sitting in the front row, and went up there. And did I hear her say this? No. I was 5 years old. But she went up there and she started to pray. And at 12 years old, I told her what she had prayed. We never had had the conversation. I said, Mom, you went up to pray at Dad's coffin, which I didn't know was a coffin at the time. And she goes, yeah. I said, and you asked God, how am I going to raise these boys? She goes, yeah. And he told you to turn around. When you turned around, I said, where did the angels come from on each side of me? And she started crying, raised her hand. He loves, let you see him. She said, that's when the Lord told me, you're not going to raise them, I am. I mean, visitation. I mean, people say, ah, you're nuts. And I go like, no. And then when I'm 12 years old, the same time I'm having that conversation, I prayed to a God I didn't know yet. So people want to know, will God answer your prayer? He will absolutely answer your prayers. He will absolutely answer your prayer. That I'd be with her when she graduated. 12 years old. I didn't get saved until I was almost 19 years old. But the thing was, God heard those prayers. We go to church camp. My mom's basically, she doesn't drive or anything. And her brother brings her to church camp. I don't know she's there. And she gets to see me get saved. I didn't know she was there until I get up off my knees and walk toward the back. But you know, one night at a bowling alley, yes, live bowling alley, the Spirit spoke to me and said, go straight home. I turned around so clear, I turned around to look to see who was talking to me. I closed my eyes and when I got in the car, go straight home. So I went straight home. I was living with my mom at the time because she had fallen and crushed her shoulder and she was like doing rehab and we moved in with her. God does everything well, all the time. All the time we don't realize what's going on. That morning when I had come home from work, she said, sit down here, Clyde. I want to tell you who I'm going to see in heaven. That's a hint, by the way. That's a hint. And she tells me of these 7 generations, and I start crying. My mom couldn't see too well at this time. She was going blind. And she said, are you crying? I said, yes. She said, are you sad? I said, oh, no, these are happy tears. The same happy tears, I got to see her at the ironing board when I was a kid. And she goes, what are you happy about? I said, Mom, I just came. You named 7 generations that you were going to see in heaven. You never said anything about yourself. That was 8. I said, you never said nothing about me. That's 9. And I said, and you didn't say anything about my kids. That's 10. I said, we're going to have a family reunion. Anyway, later that night, I came in from the bowling alley, and I see Mom in her bedroom, sitting on the edge of the bed praying. So I went upstairs and told Debbie, I said, I don't know what, and at that time, still, I didn't know what. I said, I don't know what, but something's going to happen. I got to go downstairs. So I go downstairs. I'm sitting in the kitchen looking at my mom. She said, Clyde? I said, yeah. She said, come in here. She said, I've been praying for the last hour that God would come and take me home. Immediately, everything flashed forward, and I knew exactly what was going to happen. Mm-hmm. I said, okay. She said, I want you to call Brother Eddie and let him pray with me. I said, well, before I do, can I pray with you? She said, sure. And I asked that God's will be done, and all of us that remain be able to accept it. Mm-hmm. That remaining part is really important. Because she wasn't going to stay there. She was getting ready to leave. Mm-hmm. So she had told me a story about sitting with her mom when her mom graduated and watching her mom's spirit go out of her body through a window. So I sat there looking. I had my arm around her. I was holding her hand. And she didn't squeeze my hand like it was terrible. Mm-hmm. She just put her head on my shoulder, went to sleep. And Debbie, by that time, was standing there. She said, honey, she said, I believe your mom's passed out. And Debbie was going to school, nursing back then. I said, no, mom's not passed out. I said, mom's gone home. She said, well, anyway. So to tell you all that is to tell you that I would have a lot of nerve and stupidity if I didn't believe in the presence of God and hearing his voice. And you know, sometimes you hear his voice and you don't want to. This isn't one of those times. One of those times happens when the Lord speaks to you about a fellow employee and you get to go tell him, you notice I said you get to go tell him, do you know I know the voice of the Lord? And they said, yeah. I said, well, today will be your last day at work. And he didn't work no more. In the next 2 weeks he went down Kentucky and repented to everybody that he had ever wronged. And when they had his funeral 2 weeks later, his wife came up to me. She said, I hear you're Clyde Morgan. I said, yes, ma'am. And she said, well, I'm not doing this to embarrass you, but she said, my family knows that God lives within you and they want to meet you. So she introduced me to the people and they came up and started hugging on me. And they told me that we wouldn't be here if you hadn't told him what you told him. Otherwise, we wouldn't have been forgiven. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, sometimes there is a word of healing, but I can tell you with a smile on my face, there's different healings. There's different healings. There's a healing of the flesh, and there's a healing, definitely a healing of the soul. And, you know, and that's what the Bible does. I think in Romans 8:18, where it says, for I reckon the sufferings of the present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory of God, which shall be revealed in us. Oscar wants us to know, it's in us. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it's not only in us, but it's through us. It should continue through us into the next generation and to your neighbor and to your friend and to somebody you haven't met yet. And then it goes on and it starts talking to us. But listen, I really want to read it here. That was the message. I thought this was great.
In Amplified, it says that it's about to be revealed to us, in us, and for us, and conferred on us.
Yeah, that's good.
And let me read it also here in the Passion Translation. Nothing, any suffering we endure is less than nothing compared to the magnitude of glory, this I love, is about to be unveiled within mm-hmm. us. And you know, I like that because the unveiling is not something that is on us to do. It is going to be unveiled within us.
I think it's the process of unveiling. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's the process. Mm-hmm. As Oscar said that he would like to see that the children of God grow up. Mm-hmm. Well, I want to tell you that the only child you'll probably see grow up is the one in the mirror. Mm-hmm. And I said, and it'll be a miracle if you see it then. Mm-hmm. But listen what it says in the message. It said, that's why I don't think there's any comparison between the present hard times and the coming good times. Let me stop right there. Outside of Christ, I guess this is true. We see the bad times. I guess that's true. But inside of Christ, we don't really know the difference.
That's right.
You ever heard anybody, Mike, anybody ever said to you, how's the world treating you? I got an answer to that. That I said, I don't know. I don't pay that much attention to the world and how they treat me. I mean, that's no lie. I remember after I got saved, I had Christians, born again Christians, coming up to me. But what if this happened and this happened and this happened? And I'm going like this. I go like this. That doesn't deter from my believing that God's on the throne. He's in charge. Nothing comes our way unless it's his plan. We are at a developing stage as young Christians to where he can develop us any way he wants to bring him honor. Mm-hmm. And I got guys like, oh, you're just going around it. You're not actually addressing it. And I says, well, I'm addressing it the fairest way I can to you by, who was it, that baseball pitcher, what was it, Tommy Hume or Frank Pichori, that told him that we should be able to give a reason of the hope that lives within us? Something, you didn't know that. Well, anyway, that's what we're required to do. We're supposed to give the reason. Now, I tell you what, Jesus chose to go to Calvary for us. He chose to please the Father, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm so glad he did. I'm really thrilled that he did. Now, he's the firstborn among many brethren or sisters, however you want to put it. And guess what? That means they're going to be, and Oscar, I think it was last week, we were talking about the Foot Company when you came off the platform. Bill Britton, years ago, used to talk about the Foot Company. And it was the company, the first fruits of that company, that when you walk in, what goes in first? Your feet. And when you walk in where your feet touched, according to the scripture, possess ye. We should possess that. So we are actually the walking word of God, walking this earth to be a blessing to people that aren't a blessing.
Footnote down here says on 8:23, the first fruits of the Spirit would include his indwelling presence, his gifts, his wisdom, and his transforming power. And that's the first fruits, which we, you know, we want to be in that first fruits company. Then it says, imagine, just imagine what the full harvest of the Spirit will bring to us. The Aramaic can be translated for first fruits, the awakening of the Spirit. Mm-hmm. The awakening. Right there, yet another thing we're not in charge of. Mm-hmm. It will happen, well, this awakening.
He, if you don't mind, when reality breaks forth, reality is not yet known to those that it's not supposed to be revealed to. Mm-hmm. We should realize that. Reality, if reality's broken forth to you, it was supposed to break forth to you. Mm-hmm. But because it's broken forth to you, doesn't mean that it's time to now act like the world is in that yet. They won't be in it. And by the way, none of us can come to the end of perfection until they all do. All will reach there at the same time. We're not going to go in like, hey, we're something. Well, you know what? When you think you're something, you're actually nothing.
That's right.
We're talking about Christ. Mm-hmm. You know, if he before you, who can be against you? You got to realize we're not interested in those that are before, not, you know, against us. The only thing we're going to do is be a witness to those that are against Christ, that we might win some. And you know what? Who we don't win, the Holy Ghost will convict. I'm being honest with you. I believe God's going to do it. But let me finish here. It says, in good times, the created world itself can hardly wait for what's coming next. I think the world right now, as I see it, is at an anxious time. They're at an anxious time. Everything in creation is being more or less held back. God reigns it in until both creation and all the creatures are ready and can be released at the same moment into the glorious times ahead. Glorious times ahead. Meanwhile, the joyful anticipation deepens. You know, have you ever had a surprise party for someone and you were actually in charge of it, but the most important thing that you were in charge was being not letting them know it's a surprise and it's for them. Mm-hmm. I remember, and I can tell you this, I remember 30 years ago, at somebody turned 40 then, and we were going to the Beatty's house, and first hint, first hint, there's no cars in their driveway. That's a big hint. Anyway, that becomes out. Well, you know how they always run late. Might as well come on in. So I go in there, and they got about 40 or 50 people in there for a surprise 40th birthday for me. I'm going, duh. That's not like. But why I said that is to tell you this. My oldest sister's in there. Most surprised person in the world is me. My oldest sister's in there. My oldest sister's not packed. My older sister's her sister, which is 9 years older than her, which is Jerry. And at that time that I'm 40, Jerry's about ready to turn 60. She's 20 years older than me, because we came through two families. And she comes up and sits next to me, puts her arm around me, and she has never, ever said anything like this. She said, Clyde? I said, yeah. She said, enjoy 40. It's the best time in your life.
True.
And I'm thinking, because it was so sincere, I think she was talking about her life. Mm-hmm. The best time in her life was when she was 40. Mm-hmm. You know, God don't let you know everything when you're with people. Mm-hmm. I don't know that we're going to have her funeral in a few months. I don't know that she's going to be in an automobile wreck. I don't know. It's good that we don't know everything, because we have the opportunity. God gives us opportunity. Brother Eddie was doing Thad's first marriage over where Audrey's at now. Mm-hmm. Okay? Over there, that's where the wedding was. Mm-hmm. I was speaking the next day. Because I was enjoying the party, brother, and he said, are you okay? You know, he's nervous about me speaking the next day. I said, yeah, I'm okay. But I knew what I was going to talk about, because I was going to talk about not giving up. That's what I was talking about, not giving up. Because God had laid my sister on my heart so much that her daughter was at the wedding. She came up, she said, Clyde, you going to go see Mom? I said, yeah. She said, I don't know. Do you know she's given up? And I'm and God fulfilled my sermon right there that night. He goes like this. He said, oh, you know, just said, she don't want to fight. She's given up. So I go to next door from the church, not kind of busy, from the church to my sister's house. And her husband answers the door, and he answers the door crying. I said, where's Jerry at? And he said, she's in there. And he's saying it like he's really, really upset. Now, she's 60 years old. She has been in a wreck to where, and this is how they explain it, for 2 months, she's had cancer in her body for years, and that wreck has caused it to go 1,000% faster, the cancer, to spread. Well, then her kidneys started acting up. So she took one dialysis and one kidney treatment and had decided that she was no longer going to take any. And she asked the doctor, she said, how long do you think? He said, well, first of all, I don't agree with that. She said, that's okay. I still got my mind. I'm fine. And he said, maybe 3 days. 3 days later, she passed away. Well, what I'm going to tell you is this. The night before, I'm very active. The night before, I went out with my other family, my dad's kids, and they're Church of God people. They believe in prayer. And my one oldest sister there, who's quite a bit older than me, I'd say at least 30 years or whatever, says to me, what are you doing tomorrow? She's very sensitive. I said, well, I'm going over and pray with Jerry. She said, would you like to have coming? I said, well, sure. Because when I go over, she says to me, she said, what are we going to do? I said, oh, we're going to fill this room with praise. We're going to sing. So we started singing, and as we started singing, she was at hospice. They knocked on the door. Can we come in and sing with you? They came in and sang. So there was four of us in there singing. By the time her husband came back from making different types of arrangements that people need to make, he said, what in the world's going on with here? And I thought he didn't need to hear me say this, because she had went from just like that, the big smile on her face and like a radiant light shining on her face. And I said, I'll let you answer that.
And the hospice lady said, well, your wife's in the presence of God right now, and she's loving it. The next day, I said, I came over because the Lord had told me. I was supposed to teach Sunday school, but I didn't. He said, you can go tell your sister you love her, and it's okay for her to go on. She was in a coma. So I get over there, and Aunt Phyllis is at her head, and George, her husband's at her head. And he said, come on up here. So I went up there, and I hesitated. Now, the Holy Spirit will correct. I hesitated, and he said, don't do that again. And I said, well, Jerry, I love you. And she opened her eyes and looked right at me. And I said, and it's okay to go on. And I told George, I said, come up here. Jerry's getting ready to leave us. In about 30 seconds, he watched her close her eyes. No struggle, no nothing. And she left us. You know, God knows the intent of our heart. He needs the purpose that he can show things to, and people will believe it. And then he can show things to, and people won't believe it. But he's willing to prove himself. I believe in his word, and this here, he proves himself. Listen to this. All around us, we observe a pregnant generation, creation. It says the difficult times of pain throughout the world are simply birth pains. But it's not only around us, it's within us. Mm-hmm. The Spirit of God is arousing us within. We're also feeling the birth pains. These sterile and barren bodies of ours are yearning for full deliverance. I say amen to that. That is why waiting does not diminish us any more than waiting diminishes a pregnant mother. We are enlarged in the waiting. To me, that's true because I believe the Spirit enlarges us. It's on an edge of just making everything free, just making just whoo, like birth just come forth. And it says it enlarges us. And we, of course, don't see what is enlarging us. But the longer we wait, the larger we become. And the more joyful is our expectancy. Now, I hate to say this. When Debbie was pregnant with our kids, I didn't go in the waiting room. I mean, not waiting room. I didn't go in the delivery room. No, of course I was in the waiting room. Anyway. But what I've seen is the expectancy of a mother is giving us a deliverance of all she can be. She did it. And my sister Pat was with me. And of course Joey was a girl, and Pat didn't have any girls. And she started banging on me, hitting me. You, God gave you a girl! I mean, this. God has given us so many things. I mean, when we think of the people that we get to minister to, whether it's through choice or dependency, whether it's for care, or just love because it's our loved one. We don't know. The birthing process, all we knew is God's in it. And if we can see God in it, we've already won a victory. We can be patient. I got to tell you this. I'm not sure if I told you this or not. Josh, the first Sunday I brought him to church since he's been with us. By the way, we just celebrated 6 months of him being home. He said, Dad, I got to say something to you. I said, okay. He said, you're not as nice at home as you are at church. I said, okay, son. I said, okay, son. I said, I'm learning a lot from you. And I said, and God knows who to bless me with. I said, he blessed me with you. And I said, and I can accept that because I know it's true. You know, and not proud of it, but I can accept that. And the things a lot of times that, the things that don't kill us, what do they do? They make us stronger.
Stronger.
And the thing is there's a lot of things that's gonna happen in our lives that we haven't met people yet. I still believe in that. I believe that's gonna happen a lot. And I've been thinking of Etta a lot, and it's sorry she's not in here, but the fact is, Debbie brought Etta to church, but Debbie has not kept Etta at church. Mm-hmm. The Holy Spirit has grasped her and has kept her and drawn her to where she feels belonged more than she ever has in her life.
Yeah.
And I think that's beautiful.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, I know, you know, we have to make, what's the word? Spaces or areas to where people can talk. Still makes us, we get to be a good listener. I'll shut up if anybody wants to say anything.
Come on, Brother Oscar, we took a breath. We're getting ready.
No.
I thought you were getting ready to say something. We took a breath, like, you know, you're going.
I'm just listening. Yeah. I'm just observing and listening.
One thing
I do too much talking all sometimes.
One thing I want to say about, you know, about birthing, you said you don't go to the neighbor. I've been in with two of my great nieces to see, you know, what they're going on. I already know because I've had a child, you know, one by cesarean and one natural.
Yeah.
And you know the labor, you know what you're going. But do you know, when that child, because her husband, the one, her husband was in there, plus her mother-in-law, and then me, and another niece, that when that child came forth, there's a joy, and we were all crying. You couldn't help it. You couldn't help it. We all just started crying. And there was just a joy. Mm-hmm. And I was just seeing that when God sees birthing going on in us, I said, can you imagine the joy that he feels for us, his children, because of what he's seeing being birthed in us and coming forth. I thought of that. And you couldn't help it. No one planned or anything. You just couldn't. There was just, it seemed like a natural thing to come that we saw the child come forth, we all started crying. Just, and there was just a joy. But the tears, you couldn't help it. Just.
Well, you know where the scripture says, all angels rejoice over one sinner coming to the Lord.
I can see Jesus crying. He looks like it's worth it.
Kathy, you want to close?
Yes. Father, thank you for this opportunity.
Praise God.
Just to sit in your presence and to make our mind and our mind's eye single toward you.
Yes, Father.
Help us to live our lives in that way, to be single toward you, so that there will be no double-mindedness within us.
Yes.
Father, we ask that you bless the service that lies ahead. Thank you for this time today, and in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Praise God.